In 2006 or 7, the Community Foundation in Macon County did a survey in the community to gauge the issues of greatest import. Education came out huge, which is very typical in Macon County in Decatur. It is always a huge issue and apparently always has been. I read something back from like 1890-something in the archives, and they were all talking about it. So there's a group in Cincinnati called Strive, which was one of the first to take this collective impact model and try to make it operational. And they used a consultant, his name is Jay Connor, who also had worked with that theory and brought him to town and set up this education coalition as an initiative of the Community Foundation. Since that time, they have made all the mistakes that everybody else has made trying to make this operational. One being the idea that we'll just get all these programs in place and we'll get the good ones that work someplace else, and then we'll put them in place here and then everything will be fixed. Since that time, they have gone on to really define what are essential pieces of a backbone structure that drives change. And that includes a data analyst position like Sarah's, another that's a facilitator to work bringing various groups within the community and from outside the community together to learn and understand what's really happening.
Now, Sarah, you are the data analyst for the group. Now, when you look at a lot of this data, it does not paint a good picture of education, certainly in Macon County, but it's probably similar in many other counties.
Yes, based on the research that we've been able to do so far, we found it's certainly not Macon County alone. What we found is that, especially when you look at data that we can see across the state or across the nation, ACT scores being an example, that as a nation, we're not doing well with it, much less when we look at what happens in our state and what happens in Macon County. We know that everyone is grappling with these kinds of issues, and the question for us is, how are we going to try to answer the question?
How do you go about that type of change? I mean, you know, certainly people have their own personal areas that they want to protect. You know, you can understand a teacher's union wants to protect jobs within a system. Administration, they want to protect dollars. How do you go about, you know, bringing these ideas to people?
First of all, you need a superordinate goal. You need one focus. And so our focus is improvement of the community through education, through improvement of the individual citizens within the community. And then the other beauty in our case is all the groups that you just mentioned, the teachers union, the school boards, the community college boards, all of those groups that are the outward manifestation of education as our culture identifies it, they aren't our boss. Our boss is essentially the community, and the community wants better.
Talk a little bit about what the data shows, especially when it comes to kids getting started in school and how they wind up in high school.
Well, one of the pieces of the puzzle for us that really started to put things together was we started working with the University of Illinois at Chicago and their research regarding ISAT testing. And what we found from that, based on the research they were doing, it said that only about 4 out of every 10 students in Macon County were really on track, based on their third grade ISAT reading and math scores, to attain the ACT benchmarks in high school. And when we really started looking at the students in their graduation cohorts, we found about 4 out of 10 in a cohort were hitting those marks in third grade, in fourth grade, fifth grade, and on through. And by the time they took that ACT in 11th grade, there were only 4 out of 10 of them hitting the benchmark. So we saw it changed the way we were able to look at the ISAT scores and their connection to ACT, in that we saw, when depending on where you set the cut score for it or how you look at that information, you can see a correlation between ACT scores and that.
And so we're really not seeing a big change of kids being ready for their grade level from, say, third grade to high school.
No.
What I have to ask then is, you know, is the system failing these kids, or are we just not looking at it the proper way? Can anybody give some answers to that?
I think you have to say that the children in third grade who are being assessed, there's been a lot of effort toward assessing kindergarten readiness. And we've had a fairly comprehensive program in Macon County for that, Indicator especially. So there are various tests in place, and the children, you know, do they know where their elbow is? Do they know 10 colors? Do they know that kind of thing? But the larger issues that we are beginning to understand through the research and the data are things like their vocabulary. How many words do they have? And learning is accretive. It builds on itself. So if you have 400 words or 10,000 words, who do you think is going to read better by third grade? So it seems like we need to do a better job of early assessment and catching kids up with a firm foundation to build on. If we see no difference between third grade and 11th grade, it would say to me, we've lost them by third grade. And then we just keep building and pushing them through this system.
We're talking with Sarah Bielan. She's a data analyst. And Dr. Jean Hinton, executive director. They are with the Education Coalition of Macon County. You mentioned early childhood education or getting kids more prepared. Is money the answer for that, or is it not being used wisely right now?
There's a lot of money out there and a lot of programs out there. Some of them are to remediate the things that aren't. You could look at it that way right from the start. You wouldn't need the money for remediation if the foundation was firm. And I think we've talked about this with the community college remediation issue, which is a focus now on that level. And years ago, that was unheard of. You started community college with 100-level courses, and then they began to put in courses that were 099 and 095, and they were taking kids in with skills that were not adequate to begin community college level courses, and that has only grown and grown and grown. So, and some of this too, you know, you have to go back in history. You have to look at the fact that I think in 1950, half of all high school kids dropped out because they could go to union jobs. They could work from the sweat of their brow. They didn't need higher skilled labor. And now we look at Indicator, for example, at Caterpillar. To work in the factory, you have to be able to use an iPad. You have to understand data and higher order metrics that they track productions with. Those jobs just aren't there. And Harry Berman from the organization here for higher ed in Springfield showed us a compelling chart that's on our website of how many jobs went away from that echelon when the economy hit the wall. So there are even fewer jobs now of that. Jobs require advanced education, and kids don't have the foundation to do that. So, yes, there's money against all of this to hold it all in place and make it work. And I guess what our question is why?
Beforehand, we were talking just a little bit. There was a statistic that was mentioned that I thought was pretty telling, and it was in Macon County, the level of education that people needed for jobs and then what you were seeing among a lot of the population, and it was well below that. So basically what we're saying is the workforce is just not ready overall for the types of jobs that are there.
Right. In the research we've been doing in the last few months, we've been looking at the job listings for the top employers in the county. And what we have found is 52% of the top employers are looking for, have job openings for people with 4 years of college or more. And based on the last census, Macon County only has a population with 4 years of college or more at 22%. So we're really looking in desperately in need of people who have that college education.
Something else that caught my attention earlier when we were discussing it was the use of the term prenatal. And we don't think about that in education very often. Pre-K is thrown out there quite a bit. But you believe that really this cycle of kids underachieving, not getting to where they need to be, it starts much earlier than that. And it really goes back to it really goes back to their mothers and families.
And that's what the research says. that the prenatal health, the chaotic environment into which some kids are born, environments where there isn't a nest. They're not being born into a nurturing environment that's ready for children to come into it. And then, so that's part of why we have an early childhood initiative to help remediate the youngest parents of the youngest children so that they can even go into a GED program or a CNA program. And really our objective is still beyond that, which is to measure the academic achievement of children who have that intervention versus those that don't, because we know that the education level of the mother is the clearest indication of what level of education a child will attain.
One of the most interesting things we found was that when we looked specifically at a class of students, so the graduating class of 2012, what we found for them was 22% of the children born in the general year in which those students were born, 1995, 22% of them were born to a mother without a high school education. And when it came time for that group of students to graduate high school, 25% of them did not graduate in 4 years. So it spoke to that cycle continuing itself.
If a parent quite often doesn't see a value in education, it can be hard for a kid to see that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the places we've seen, you know, a lot of people talk about people who are first-time college students, you know, and they're the first in their family to go, and that's a very hard leap to make. You know, just simply filling out FAFSA forms, college applications, et cetera. But there's also a huge leap to make if you're the first person in your family to graduate from high school, especially at this time when, you know, algebra is something you took in eighth grade or your freshman year, and by the time you're a junior or senior, you're taking either pre-calculus or calculus. You don't have anybody in your family that knows that experience of persisting through high school. So, you know, how do we help them do that? And I think the program Jean was talking about, some of this family literacy where we're plugging in both with parents and children. You know, we're interested to see what happens with that pilot and if that can really be a successful model for our community.
And I would add to that we need to look at what we call school. We know we can't get into the homes. We don't even interface with the parents of some of these children until they get to kindergarten. Part of our attack we're taking in Macon County to deal with that is to make a very public saturation of information and tools for the youngest children. So, for example, an activity book that we'll put in restaurants that when a parent is sitting still with the child and looking for something to do, they can go through letters and numbers and interact with a parent or a caregiver at that time. There's also another program at the YMCA that we have collaborated with them to work with the caregivers during the day and young children to teach them healthy interaction. But we have to acknowledge what we control and what we don't control. We don't control the home life of children until they get to school. And up until just recently, the law said they didn't need to go to school till they were 7. So we have to say, okay, when we get them then at school, what do we do to assess them to know where to begin to teach them foundational knowledge? Where is their foundational level so that we can build up from there?
A lot of criticisms really right now of how the school systems are doing. Are there things that are working well? I mean, do you see some parts of the educational system that you applaud and think maybe even could be built on?
I think people engaged in education should get a Congressional Medal of Honor. They are working their tails off. And legislators and everyone concerned about education and concerned about our citizens and concerned about their ability to be successful, self-sustaining, contributing members of society. But what we're seeing as per Sarah's data, and it is pretty ubiquitous across the United States, is that our schools are working for about 40% of the kids. So I would say that our focus, rather than being on what's a program that actually works, we have to stop looking for scapegoats. It's the union, it's the teachers, it's the school board, it's the money. It's none of those from my personal assessment in looking at it, it's the system that we're using and the assumptions we're making about that system.